أزليته انقضاء وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته الأقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول الأذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة فلا تظلم نفس شيئا وإن كان مثقال حبة من خردل أتينا بها وكفى بنا حاسبين صلوات الله على On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to install the scales of justice. And even if there is a weight equal to the grain of this mustard seed, Allah is going to bring it. We will bring it. وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ And we are sufficient to take account. مُحَاسَبَةُ النَّفْسِ And holding ourselves accountable in the month of Muharram and Safar is the subject of my speeches in these nights. And we talked about some of those مواقف and some of those questions on the Day of Judgment which we will be asked and little bit of those details. And tonight is the turn for the place called Al-Mizan. So, Mizan, which means the scale. And we have tafsir from Abdullah ibn Abbas saying, he put his hand over the soil under this ayat of Holy Quran which I recited. This tafsir has been mentioned that Abdullah ibn Abbas put his hand over the soil and few particles of soil stuck into his hand. And he gave the example that even if there is any slightest haq or batil that the people, the humanity, may have performed in their life equal to the magnitude of these small particles of sand or soil, Allah will bring that much weight as well. And another narration tells also from Abdullah ibn Abbas, as we are talking about Mizan and the concept of Mizan on the Day of Judgment, that if there is a wall and you find there's a small hole in the wall and sun rays enter from that small hole and you can see the beam of the light and inside the beam of light you can see some of those dust particles. And Abdullah ibn Abbas says that even if there is anything that a person has performed equal to the size of those dust, small tiny dust particles, that much weight of an action, good or bad, will also be brought forward by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some of the scholars mentioned in their tafsir that the word mizan is mentioned in the plural form in the ayat, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. And we will put the scales of justice on the Day of Judgment. So some of the scholars say that the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the plural in the ayat is because we have several scales. And the scale for every item has to be different from the other item. If you want to judge about the usage of water by a human being in his life, if you happen to see some of our maraje, how they do the wudu, we will be surprised. You know, some of them, you see, they put a bowl of water and they dip their hand like this in the bowl of water and they put it over their face. They, you know, rub over the face and they put the hand, left hand like this, and they do like this. And then the right hand and then do like this. So there's a zero wastage of water. So there are some people who just let the tap run and run for so long. Isn't it right? When an israf is an israf, doesn't matter what it may be. So we find Hasan al-Basri was doing wudu next to the river Furat, and he was wasting water, which is israf, and that's haram in Islam. And every israf has khums. If you happen to waste something of your money on any kind of usage, which is israf, that's not an expense which is sanctioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you got to give khums on every israf. Just FYI for your information. So he was doing the wastage of water, and Imam Ali alayhi salam cannot ignore any haram of any person. He will definitely object, because he is masoom. And he objected over that wastage of water next to the river. And it was just few days passing by at the end of the Battle of Siffin. And he became sarcastic. And he did the tons, taunting over Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, that, well, thousands of people died in the Battle of Siffin just recently, and shedding the blood of those people was not israf, and me wasting few drops of water from this river is israf. That's how some people are. You know, first of all, we don't consider the followers of Banu Umayyah to be Muslims. Isn't it right? So Amir Mumin alayhi salam had been openly sending his la'nat on the kuffar of Banu Umayyah. He used to send his la'nat on the kuffar of Banu Umayyah. Second of all, so Imam Ali alayhi salam said to him, are you mahzoon? Are you sorrowful over the shedding of the blood of those people? And he said, yes. Then Imam said, then be mahzoon, stay sorrowful. And he used to stay sorrowful for the rest of his life. He never could become happy ever again. So, coming back to the point that we were mentioning, what our scholars have mentioned in the tafsir of this ayat of Holy Quran, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. And we will put the scales of justice on the Day of Judgment, and no life, no person, no one would be subjected to oppression for the least. So some of the scholars say in the tafsir that the word mawazin, the plural, the scales have been mentioned because there are several scales for everything. For water, there is a different scale to judge. For the air, there is a different scale to judge. For the food, there is a different scale to judge. For everything, there is a scale, which is different for the scale of the other things. Whereas in Tafsir Ruhul Ma'ani, it has been mentioned that the reason why Allah uses the plural al-mawazin, the scales, instead of saying al-mizan, the scale. The reason why Allah used the tense in the plural form is because it is the alamat and sign of the azamat and ta'zeem and greatness of the mizan. The mizan and scale itself is so great that the word is used as plural for ta'zeem, for showing respect. And we find that the mizan has been mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, where he has said to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, "Anta mizanul amal." You are the scale of the actions. So the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam is precisely the scale with which all the amal of everyone will be measured. Because just the yardstick, this is the best of everything is here. And everyone else has to be judged according to the best. So we find, and some of the narration says that Amir al-Mumin wal a'imma humul mawazin. In the hadith, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, "Nahnu al-mawazinul qist." We are the scales of justice. So scales are nothing but the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali.
What is our behavior towards the walayat, which stands for the walayat and supremacy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is our behavior towards the teachings that this walayat stood for and stands for? And how did we behave towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This walayat of Ahlul Bayt actually is the walayat and supremacy of Allah. Anyone who believes in the walayat of Ahlul Bayt and the walayat of Rasulullah is the one who actually believes that kalimatullah, the word of God, needs to be supreme. Allah should be the ruler over my life. Isn't it right? So in the real sense, we stand for the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the meaning of believing in the walayat of the Prophet. That's the meaning of believing in the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen and the rest of them. And that's the meaning of believing in the walayat of Faqih as well. Isn't it right? When we say we believe in the walayat of Faqih, al-jami' lish-shara'it, al-faqih al-adil, the just Islamic jurisprudent. This is exactly what we mean. We want the Islamic jurisprudence, fiqh. We want the rulings of Allah's sharia, which has been revealed on the greatest soul in the humanity, the soul of the Holy Prophet. We are saying that the greatest teachings revealed on the soul of the greatest messenger, the rulings of our fiqh, be allowed to rule over my life. That's the meaning of walayatul faqih al-adil. That's what my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafadahullah used to say, that we don't believe actually in the real sense that the faqih who is adil, the jurisprudent who is adil and just, is ruling over us. In the real sense, what we believe is that fiqh and adil is ruling over us. His knowledge of Islamic jurisprudence is the one that is ruling over us. And his level of adl and justice is the one which is ruling over us. If we found a human on earth who had a better understanding of Islamic jurisprudence and fiqh than him, we would love to switch towards that human being. And if we found a human being having a better practice of the teachings of the Quran and Ahlul Bayt, which is justice and adl, if we found a human being who has a better adalat and justice in his spirituality, we would definitely be switching towards him. So actually, we are not following the person, we are following the knowledge of the person and the practice of that knowledge, which is adl and justice. So actually, fiqh and adl is ruling over the society. And the dalil that he mentioned for that is that even the faqih himself doesn't have the right to obey his own desires and likes. Faqih is obliged to follow what his own knowledge of fiqh dictates. So actually, at the end of the day, the knowledge of fiqh is authoritative and supreme. Isn't that right? So this is what we mean when we say walayat of Allah. We are believing in the ziyarat of Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq to keep visiting the holy shrines of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. We say in the ziyarat of Imam Ali alayhi salam, As-salamu ala mizanil a'mal. Salam and peace of Allah be upon the one who is the mizan, the yardstick and scale of all the actions. Wa sayfi zil jalal, and the sword of the Lord who is majestic. So, this is how Imam Ali alayhi salam is. Isn't it right? He didn't do a thing. He didn't think of doing anything other than, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the occasion of Baytul Ahzab, Khandaq, we call it Al-Ahzab as well, because all Ahzab means the parties. So all the parties joined their hands together to crush Islam and to defeat the Holy Prophet. All of them gathered together. And now we find when Amir al-Mu'mineen goes to fight against Amr ibn Abd al-Wud, who is the leader of the Mushrikeen, and he's insulting the Holy Prophet over and over again after crossing that huge trench that the Muslims had dug up. Now when Imam Ali alayhi salam goes there, he uses the abusive word for the mother of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And he spat on the face of Imam Ali. This is definitely not pleasant for anyone, including Imam Ali alayhi salam, who is at the peak of ghairat and haya and self-respect. Didn't the Prophet say, "Argham Allahu anfa man la yaghar"? May Allah rub the nose of the person who doesn't have ghairat. Isn't right? In Islam, that's not an option. You cannot be a believer if you don't have the ghairat. You need to have ghairat if you want to be a believer. If you lose ghairat, everything is okay. What Salman Rushdie did is also okay. Isn't it right? If there is no ghairat, if there is no Allah, if there is no Quran, if there are no values, then everything is okay. Isn't it right? So we find it's all about ghairat. Everything returns back to how much haya. La deena liman la haya alahu. The hadith says, someone who doesn't have haya has no religion. The entire religion is negated. You really find values, all of our values are great, but you really find values which are equal in status to the entire religion. Haya is one of those values. Imam Ali alayhi salam was very upset on that, obviously, because he had ghairat and haya. So, but he walks away from Amr ibn Abd al-Wud, la'natullah alayhi. He walks away from him and he turns around and comes back and takes care of him. Isn't it right? So this shows the peak of ikhlas of Amir al-Mu'mineen and his sincerity towards Allah, that not even the slightest act of his actions in his life are done for anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he didn't want to kill the person in order to calm down his own anger and take a revenge for his own anger. This is called ikhlas and sincerity. So Imam Ali alayhi salam's actions deserve to be classified as the best and the yardstick for all the rest of the actions. So we find that this mizan of amal, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and his practices, his beliefs, his behaviors, this is what is the yardstick. Wal waznu yawma idhin al-haq, Quran says, weighing of the actions on that day is haq. And that means there will be weighing of actions. And that's a fact, it's gonna happen. Weighing of the actions, فَمَنْ سَقُولَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Whoever's scales are heavy, they are the ones who are successful. So we need to do things, believe in things, practice things, adorn our spirituality with those kinds of moral traits that bring weight to my soul. What is the weight comprised of? The weight of the soul, which itself is nurani, can never be with anything else other than the nur. Every weight you want to add into your soul has to be something that itself is nur. So you got to do things which are nur. Add more light to your soul. The soul becomes further illuminous. A time arrived, the soul of these mu'mineen is glittering, you know, when a mu'min stands up and prays Salatul Layl, the night prayers in the middle of the night, this soul of the mu'min glitters towards the angels in the heaven, just like the stars glitter for us. Because Salatul Layl has a lot of nur, isn't it right? Salatul Layl has a lot of nur for those who believe in the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. For those who don't believe in the walayat and they are missing the essence of Islam, which is the walayat of Ahlul Bayt, there is no nur for nothing of their deeds or beliefs. Ibn Muljim, la'anatullah alayhi, he also prayed his Salatul Layl, isn't it right? But he comes to kill Imam Ali alayhi salam, and not just that, he used to consider Imam Ali to be a kafir. Isn't it right? How lowly a person can get despite the fact he's praying. That's what we mentioned last night. Prayers and fasting of a person are never considered to be a criteria to begin with, to judge the person's spirituality. There are a whole bunch of people who have been doing these kinds of things without the walayat of Ahlul Bayt. We should never be proud to make our masajid only and only our masajid look nicer and nicer and nicer, instead of focusing on the productivity and the kind of message that we are delivering from the mosque. Isn't it right? A person comes to the mosque for what? For the pillars and the ceiling of the masjid? Well, the Wahhabis and Takfiris have much more nicer looking constructions, isn't it right, than our mosque. And if you go to the Jewish synagogues, you would probably find a better and nicer looking, you know, multi-million constructions, better than our mosques. So we are talking about the kind of message which is delivered. That's the focus. And you talk to some people, you know, yeah, you know, I heard in that city they made such a nice mosque, $13 million. Very good. So what? Islam remains where it was. Islam stays at the same place, because the kind of message being delivered, you put a ban on all those ulama who talk about the Yawm al-Quds. You better have made a club. You better have opened a club. You know, do one thing, but do it right. When you are making a mosque, then let the walayat of Allah, the supremacy of the word of God, rule over this construction, not your personal opinion. That's not your personal opinion club. A masjid is a house of God. Even if your opinion is different, you still, you know, you are spending money on a mosque, very good. But please keep your opinion at home before coming to the center. When you come at center, leave your personal opinions at home. We come here to learn what's the opinion of Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. If you don't want to learn what he has said, what Ahlul Bayt have said, please stay home. We are free. Everybody is free in this world to do what we wish for our choices. If you want to serve Islam and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam's teachings, you want to learn that, then do it right. So we find that this kind of behavior has derailed so many of our Islamic centers to be void of the guidance. And it's very sad to say this statement. And this makes some of our centers entitled to what is mentioned in the about the alamat and signs of akhir zaman, the final days. Masajiduhum amiratun wa hiya kharabum min al huda. Their masjids would be well constructed, will be constructed, but would be void of guidance. This is exactly. The opposite is also true. You find some of the children who are young, but they have familiarized their soul with the noor, more and more noor of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So we find that they are behaving like grown-ups. Rushd, Rushdul Aqli wa Shar'i. This is what is missing. So, you know, our customs and traditions are not going to elevate us. What provides the noor more and more to our soul is going to add weight in the mizan. This is what we are discussing tonight, about the place where mizan will be installed. Every single human is going to go through that stage, no escape. So now we find what brings the noor has to be there so that we can have more noor. Now we have the narration where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find that Prophet Dawood ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam sa'ala rabbahu an yuriyahu al-mizan. Prophet Dawood once asked Allah to show him the mizan, the scale. He wanted to see the scale, isn't it right? So the narration says that فَأَرَاهُ كُلَّ كَفَّةٍ كَمَا بَيْنَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. Allah showed him the mizan and both the sides of the scale. You know, your scale has two sides, isn't it right? Obviously, one is for the hasanat, the good beliefs and good deeds and good moralities. And one is for the sayyi'at, the bad beliefs and bad deeds and bad moral attributes. So both of the sides of the scales were shown, and they were so big that, you know, it spans over the east and the west. And Ghushiya alayhi, the narration says he became unconscious and he saw the humongous, huge size of the scale. Prophet Dawood became unconscious. And he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that summa afaqa, he becomes conscious and said, فَقَالَ إِلَهِ مَنِ الَّذِي يَقْدِرُ أَنْ يَمْلَأَ كَفَّتَهُ حَسَنَاتٍ. Yeah, he said, oh my Lord, who is able to fill up this kind of, side of the scale, this huge magnitude of the scale? Who can fill it up? Now look at the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Allah replies back to Prophet Dawood, Ya Dawood, inni idha radito an abdi, if I am pleased with a servant of mine, mala'tuha bitamratin, I can fill it up with one date. If you can give away one date, you know, Allah can fill up the entire scale with the one date of charity for the sake of Allah. This is the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Didn't the Prophet say, ittaqullaha walo bi shiqqi tamratin? Fear the taqwa of Allah even though through a piece of date. Well, date is something which is extremely, extremely cheap commodity. Even in the times where the Prophet and Imam Ali alayhi salam used to live, which was the poorest times in the history of Islam. Muslims were never poorer than the time when the Prophet and Imam Ali lived. Later on, obviously, they lived a better, the situation got much, much better. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was wearing a very nice shirt on the top, isn't it right? And a very simple shirt from the inside. This is how our Ahlul Bayt are doing the highest level of tazkiyatun nafs, taming our desires. And this Sufyan al-Sawri, who is the head of Mutasawwifa Sufis, he objected on Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that you are the son of Rasulullah and you are wearing such a nice shirt. And he was wearing a very, very simple, a poor type of shirt. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam replies back, which is a very long narration, I'm paraphrasing in my words, that in the time of Rasulullah, people were poor. So, obviously he lived a life according to the situation of those times. In the time when Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is living, the situation of Islamic Ummah has improved. You know, and these ni'mas definitely they belong to the mu'mineen. Why couldn't they benefit from the, or why shouldn't a mu'min benefit from the ni'mat of Allah? In other words. And so Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said to him that he is wearing a nice shirt. This is how you protect your izzat, your dignity in front of the community. Islam is not here to make us humiliated in front of the rest of the people. Obviously, we will protect our izzatun nafs, our dignity in front of the rest. We wear nice clothes, you know, which is according to our haythiyatun urfiya, sha'nun urfi, our social status. That's allowed in Islam. And he was wearing a very simple shirt from the inside, whereas Sufyan al-Thawri was doing exactly the opposite. He was wearing a very simple shirt from the outside to deceive the people as riya and showing off. And he had a very expensive shirt inside. So when he can move away from the crowd and goes to his own gatherings, he can take off the poor shirt and then display how rich of a man he is. So we don't do like this in Islam. We maintain our respect in front of the community. So Imam Ali al-Salam's time and Prophet's time was a poor time. Where, but even in, you know, in those poor times, what I was saying to you is that a date is something which is affordable to even a poor person in the society. Anybody can buy a date and survive.
So even if you can give away for the sake of Allah with ikhlas and sincerity, a single date, Allah can fill up the scale through that date for you.
But the bottom line is that we care about those teachings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned. How we have our mizan khafif. وَمَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ. The ayat of Quran teaches us, وَمَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ. Those who have their scales, khafif, that means less weighty, they are the ones, فَأُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ.
They are the ones who have lost their lives. They have lost their selves.
So these people didn't care about the teachings and ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was teaching us to do certain things, we ignored the ayat of Allah. So now we find when the mizan is installed, at that occasion there are certain questions at the point of mizan. And tonight I would like to mention, talk about those questions which are related to the place of mizan. The first one is fakku raqabatin, setting free the slave. Those of the rulings of Islam where we are asked to set free a slave, for example, if you missed a fasting. Well, nowadays we don't have the slaves, and Islam eradicated the problem very successfully. Isn't it right? So, with various rulings that were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the slavery was eradicated. So, those of the times when, and those of the instances where the slave had to be set free, those who did that will be able to reply positively to that question. And the second question that will be asked on the stage of mizan, the scale, is about Quran. Question about Quran relates to the mizan, when the scale is installed. So how much did we give importance to the Holy Quran in our life? You know, definitely Quran has three responsibilities on our neck. Learning the Holy Quran to recite, learning to recite it properly, and understanding its meanings, and then practicing its contents. These are three responsibilities. And Quran is a book which is a tajalli and reflection of Allah in the word form. Because Imam Ali has said in Nahjul Balagha, tajalla lahum subhanahu fi kitabihi. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown his tajalli and reflection in his book. This is the reflection of Allah. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reflected. So Quran is one of those things that salasatun yashkuna ila Allah azza wa jal. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam has said that three things are going to complain towards Allah. The first thing is alimun bayna juhal, a scholar who is among the ignorance. Obviously, if the scholar is not benefited from, he's there, but people are not ready to learn from the knowledge of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, this is where the scholar will have a right to complain about his community. So we want to invite those of the people who can entertain our gathering, isn't it right? Religious entertainments, so the people like it. Likeness of the people. What has likeness of the people to do with the Majlis al-Aza of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam? Isn't it right?
Because we consider the Majlis al-Aza of Imam al-Husayn al-Salam to be one of the biggest ibadat and worships of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are doing it for the sake of Allah. We are here to please the Rasul and Ahlul Bayt and Sayyidatu Nisa al-Alameen Fatima al-Zahra salamu alayhi.
Because she is the Baniyatul Aza, she is the Muassisul Aza, she is the host, our Urafa say, the host of every Majlisul Aza in the heavens and on the earth is no one but Fatimatul Zahra salamullah alayha.
Every Majlisul Aza is actually, as a matter of fact, not an emotional statement, as a matter of fact, established by the barakat and tawfiq of Allah that is provided through Fatima al-Zahra sallallahu alayha.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Isn't it right? And we believe that if we hold the Majlis al-Aza with our ikhlas and sincerity, she can appear in our Majlis. Because that's her son's remembrance. Isn't it right?
She's the one who is hosting it in the real sense. She provides all these tawfiqat. This person is going to straighten the shoes of the people. This is also worship of Allah. If you do it qurbatan Allah, that don't consider it to be less. Anything and everything that you do for the sake of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, anything and everything within the limits of Islamic Sharia that you do for the sake of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is a great worship of Allah.
You can consider the slightest of the things, straightening of the sheets that you have spread here so that people can sit comfortably. This is also an ibadat. And this has a great reward.
Bringing food, who is going to provide water? Providing water to the thirsty. You know, this is one of the greatest things. When Rasulullah saw Hazrat Hamza, Sayyidul Shuhada, Hazrat Hamza was given the title of Sayyidul Shuhada at that time by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
And Prophet saw Hazrat Hamza alayhi salam in his dream. Isn't it right? And the dreams of prophets and imams are not like our dreams. Our dreams are not hujjat. Their dreams are always hujjat and authentic. So Prophet saw Hazrat Hamza in his dream and he asked him, what do they buy there? That means in Alam al-Barzakh,
what are those things that they, you know, take more, give more value to it? And one of the things that Hazrat Hamza alayhi salam had mentioned in this dream to the Holy Prophet is saqyul ma, providing water to the thirsty people.
Providing water. This is something, this is one of the great values. So we find that our responsibility towards the Holy Quran, the first thing that would complain what I was saying to you is a scholar who is among the ignorant people who are not benefiting from that scholar, in other words. And the second thing, masjidun la yusalla fi, a mosque where people don't go to pray, it's deserted. And the third one, I may not be mentioning in the exact sequence of the hadith, but the third one is mushafun مُعَلَّقٌ قَدْ وَقَعَ عَلَيْهِ الْغُبَارِ. That means the Quran which is placed somewhere up high that dust settles over it. In some of the houses we find the Quran is being taken down on the occasion either A, for the marriage of their daughter. So now the daughter wants to set her step out of the house. They hold the Quran and let the daughter pass under the Holy Quran. That's one of the common uses in some of those houses. Isn't it right? And at the time of the death, when somebody passes away, then we end up bringing the Quran down to recite Surah Yasin for this dead person. Or, you know, at the occasion of istikhara. These are the common uses in some of the households.
Although in Islam, every household has to be giving importance to the recitation of Quran daily, 50 ayat, which is a sign of a mu'min.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
give the tawfiq to all of us and specifically our youth. See, reading Quran and doing your Salatul Layl and Namaz al-Shab and night prayers when you get 75 years of age, it's not a big deal. with due respect to our elderly people, it's not a big deal. And the sawab is also less. But the doing the same two rakat prayers as nafila, doing the same salatul layl, reciting the Holy Quran, giving away the charity, doing anything, doing a mustahab fasting when you are young, has much more sawab in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you doing the same deeds in your elderly age.
Actually, we have narration that tells us if a person used to do certain good deeds when he was young and now because of age, obviously a person gets weak, a person gets, you know, so many diseases, so many sicknesses, injuries, isn't it right? Complications in his health. Because of his health situation, a person used to perform nice deeds, because of his health, elderly age, he is unable to do, Allah is going to give him the sawab without him doing the deeds in the elderly age. This is how the rahmat of Allah is. But the bottom line is that we need to start these things from the early age. And this is also, please say salawat.
Allahumma salamu.
And the next question, which is related to the place of mizan. We are talking about those questions that will be asked when a person, when the mizan and scale is installed on the Day of Judgment. What are those questions? The next question that will be asked is related to our behavior regarding Jihad al-Akbar and Jihad al-Asghar. Isn't it right? Well, Jihad has now become a very risky word to use in the Western media. Isn't it right? But back then, when the West was supporting those stupid Taliban people, isn't it right? Jihad never used to be bad. Actually, the word mujahideen entered into the dictionaries and in the medias, mujahideen was mentioned in a very, very respectful way. Back then, jihad was never bad. Isn't it right? We, alhamdulillah, like in Afghanistan or in Pakistan, elsewhere, isn't it right? And in Syria, so many innocent civilians. We care about the innocent civilians. So if you make an intention, the angel write down the good deed. You didn't do it. You didn't make the intention. But the good deed is written. You know, why? How come the angel know when you haven't done anything? How did he discover that you did a good thing? This is what our scholars reply to that answer. Because of the beautiful smell that starts coming from your soul. As soon as you make an intention of doing a good deed, although you didn't start any action practically, a beautiful smell comes because of the noor of that niyat. That's how the angels discover, and that's how they would write down the good deed, because they now can smell the beautiful smell. Please say salawat. So this is about questions that we will be asked about the ghibat. And the next question relates us to namima, chughal khori, nammam. In the time of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, and there was no rain. Once upon a time, there was no rain. Prophet Musa gathered with a bunch of his companions to pray to Allah. We do Salatul Istisqa, isn't it? The prayers for seeking the descending of the rain. So Allah sends down the rain, sends His mercy, removes His ghadab and wrath over a community. So he gathered with a bunch of his ashab, and he discovered that among the crowd, there's a person who is Nammam. Chughal khor. What is namima for my youth and children? Namima is that spiritual illness. Every haram that we perform has a spiritual evil attribute serving as the root of the haram. Isn't it right? So namima is defined as that spiritual sickness of a person which keeps on, you know, that spiritual sickness that you listen to one sentence or one thing from Mr. A and you go and tell it to somebody else, Mr. B, and now they both end up in a fight with each other. Because you narrated that sentence or that story or that thing from one person to the other. If you didn't tell, they were very good friends with each other. So you caused the fight between the people.
And this is exactly how the Scorpio operates in his life. And these people will be resurrected in the form of Scorpios. That's exactly they used to do. They asked for it. Allah is just. They asked for it. They were causing fight. They were stinging the people. So we find that Prophet Musa discovered that the reason why the rain is not coming down, despite a prophet of Allah, who is Ulul Azm, one of the greatest five messengers of Allah.
Although Ulul Azm, we have, you know, some other aqwal and statements of scholars as well. Some scholars of Ilmul Kalam say Ulul Azm are 18, not 5. But this is a famous statement, the Ulul Azm messengers are 5.
So one of the five greatest messengers is there, and they're with the ashab, and you know, the rain is not coming down. he discovered there's one person who is Namam, Chughalkhor.
Now Prophet Musa asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to identify the person so the person can be taken out of the crowd.
Allah replies back to Prophet Musa, I stopped the people from doing namima, this kind of haram. In other words, I am the one, I stopped the people from doing that. I also become namam, I also do the same haram. Obviously, when Allah is going to identify and say to Prophet Musa, this guy, Mr. So-and-so, he's the one. So he's also, you know, creating fight between Prophet Musa and him. Prophet Musa's ideas and opinions about him would change, and his relations will turn into bad. Isn't that right? So I stop the people from doing namima, and I myself become the mom. Ask the people, all of them, to do istighfar, and I will forgive them and send down the rahmat upon them, the rain upon them. This is exactly what they did. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Because there are situations in our communities, generally speaking, you know, one person comes and says, you know, to another guy that, you know, that person was doing ghibat, and he was saying this and this and this about you. And this guy says, okay, who was that? Tell me his name.
Well, if telling you his name means that this guy will also end up doing ghibat.
Isn't it right? Mentioning his name
also means that he is now going to do his ghibat, because he is going to mention the name of a person, of that person who did the ghibat, behind his back. That's also a ghibat. That doesn't justify for you to mention the name in front of others.
Peace say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So, and we will continue, inshallah, the next of the... There are a few more questions that we will continue later on. But the last one that I would mention tonight is about tafaqquh fi deen. The question that will be asked when the mizan and scale will be installed on the Day of Judgment is about, did you learn the teachings of your religion? This is a question that will be asked. And remember, for every stage and place, we have 1,000 years. Until if we are eligible to skip the stage, quickly, by quickly answering it positively.
Imam Sadiq alayhi salam had said that, la wadattu anna ashabi durbat ru'usuhum bis-siyati hatta yatafaqqahu. I love for my companions that their heads be beaten up with the whips. Their head be whipped, so they end up in depth learning of Islam. Because if we remain simple-minded, if we remain ignorant, there's no bigger enemy of yours other than your own simple-mindedness and ignorance. Because enemies of Islam exploit the simple-minded ignorance only. Never ever in the history it happened that an enemy of Islam can fool around among the pious people.
Whoever is muttaqi, asha qawiyan wa sara fi bilad aduwihi amina.
Whoever is muttaqi, he lives a strong life, and he moves around in the country of his enemy, in the places of his enemy, as a secure person. A mu'min is all is supposed to be muttaqi, isn't it right? And basir, you know, having the insight, political insight about what's going on. We can never allow our iman to keep us, you know, our iman never keeps us ignorant and simple-minded. So tafaqquh fi din is missing. Prophet came out of his house and he's walking, he saw a bunch of children are playing.
And that's where the Prophet said, "Wailun li abna'i akhir zaman."
Death, destruction for the parents of the final days. Every statement of Rasulullah is full of wisdom. Every statement of his is great. Looking at the children, and look at what bit of nugget of wisdom he passes on for us. He said, destruction for the parents of the final days. And some of the ashab who were present next to him said, Amin aba'ihimul mushrikeen, Ya Rasulullah. Are you talking about destruction for the parents who are the father and mother who are mushrik in the final days? Prophet said, the parents who are mu'mins.
La yu'allimunahum shay'an min al-fara'id. They don't teach them nothing of the duties. So many of the families are like this, isn't it right? The statement of Rasulullah always is true and will continue to be true.
There are so many parents, and the father doesn't have time to teach the religion to his son or daughter. And no matter how busy you are, isn't it right? When you give importance, you take out time. If your daughter or your son does not practice the religion of Ahlul Bayt, the prime responsible person for this negligent behavior is the father.
Because in Islam, the children belong to the father, primarily. Isn't it right? And second of all is the mother. His father, the father himself doesn't know about that. How would he teach? This is about tafaqquh fi deen.
When we don't know, and then you know, Prophet says that radu bi ardin yaseer min ad-dunya. They will become radi and pleased about a little temporary thing of dunya. And just because my son is doing this, he has a nice job, he has this, and he's working fine, he's making money, that's enough.
We'll turn to the religion only when things go rough, isn't it right? If I lose my job, then I come to a Maulana, please give me some dua, you know, because I lost my job. Otherwise, if we have dunya working well for us, we don't care about religion.
This is the ignorances of the people which is actually backfiring them. And these, some people in this category are the ones who are victims of shaitan more than anyone else. And victims of taghuts more than anyone else. Not those who are mutafaqqih and they have understandings of Islam. And this is what Imam al-Husayn, according to some scholars, the only person to whom Imam al-Husayn sent a letter is also a faqih. You know, min al-Husayn ibn Ali ila Habib ibn Mudahir ila Rajul al-Faqih. Habib ibn Mudahir, from Husayn, son of Ali, to a man who is faqih.
Habib, the son of Mudahir. Oh, what a great person Habib is. May we all be sacrificed for Habib. Habib is not an ordinary man, isn't it right? Our scholars, our urafa say that they are even darajat and levels among the shuhada of Karbala.
All of them are great. All of them are great, but not all of them are equal. Hur is the one who is working for the army of Yazid. La'natullah alayh. Isn't it right? And in the final day, he changes. One night ahead of the Ashura. So he did such a great haram in his life, working in the army of Yazid. Is that allowed in Islam? Where Habib ibn Mudahir never served any taghut throughout his life. There is no comparison whatsoever between the highness of Habib and the highness of Hur. Zero comparison. Hur has been raised by his dad in an environment when his father, Mudahir alayhi salam, comes for the ziyarat of Rasulullah in Medina. And he has his son Habib as a baby. And Prophet sees Habib ibn Mudahir is walking behind Husayn. And he's picking up the soil under the feet of Husayn ibn Ali and pouring over his head. Picking up the soil under the feet of Husayn and pouring over his head. What a great tarbiyat and upbringing the father has provided for the son. This is how the fathers are supposed to do. Prophet could not help. He showed, expressed his love towards Habib because of that. These are the things that Prophet loved to see. How much we love Imam Husayn. What do we do for the mission and walayat of Imam Husayn today? This is what Prophet wants to see from us.
Habib ibn Muzahir min al Husayn ibn Ali ila al rajul al faqih, to the man who has the knowledge of fiqh.
And Imam Husayn said in his letter, the postman arrived at the door and he delivered the letter. Habib saw the letter of my Mawla Imam Husayn, sent a letter for me. And he's saying that we are surrounded by the enemies. And wa anta ta'lamu qarabati min Rasulillah, and you know my relationship with Rasulullah. Obviously, what is the relationship? How much close Imam al-Husayn is towards Rasulullah? Habib knows best. Who would know better than Habib among the ashab of Imam Husayn? Who would know better than Habib? Habib knows best among the ashab what is the qarabat and relationship of Imam al-Husayn. That Imam al-Husayn, when he's a young baby and he comes over the back of Rasulullah, then Prophet is doing his salat in the Masjid al-Nabi, and Imam Husayn comes over the back of the Prophet while Prophet is in the sajda. And when he's about to raise his head, Allah sends down Jibreel, that don't raise your head until Husayn comes off the back himself. Now you are reminded about the qarabat and relationship of Imam Husayn towards the Prophet and Allah, how muqarrab he is. And when Prophet is taking Imam Hassan and Imam Husayn over his shoulders on the occasion of Eid, and he hands over his hair, isn't it right? Prophet is like becoming like a naqa, like a camel for his great grandchildren, isn't it right? And he divides his hair into two and gives one side of the hair into the hand of Hassan and the other side of the hair into the hand of Husayn, as if they are holding the reins of the camel. And when he meets one of the ashab on the way, and he says, what a great ride these children have. And Prophet said, what a great riders that I have. In other words, look at the focus of Rasulullah is over Imam Hassan and Imam Husayn. Look at this, the qarabat the Prophet has. You know, Husayn minni wa ana min Husayn. That means the risalat of Rasulullah. This hadith tells us the risalat of Rasulullah becomes alive because of the walayat of Husayn ibn Ali alayhi salam. So this is now Imam Husayn is saying to Habib in the letter, you know, that we are surrounded by the enemies. Wa anta ta'lamu qarabati min Rasulullah, and you know my relationship with Rasulullah. If you can come to help us. In other words, come. Habib reads the letter. He becomes so happy that Mawla Husayn is inviting me and giving me this tawfiq and opportunity. He comes inside the house. His wife is there. She asks that who sent the letter, and he says, my Mawla Husayn has sent the letter to me. She says, what's written in the letter? He says that I am surrounded. We are surrounded by the enemies, and you know my relationship with Rasulullah. If you can come to help us, come. In other words, she says, then what are you thinking? He says, I'm thinking about you. That means if I depart and I leave you, if I become shaheed, if I leave you alone, what's going to happen to you? And this lady, the narration says, such a great lady, the wife of Habib, she threw away her chadar on the face of Habib and said that the son of Fatimatul Zahra is calling you for help, and you are thinking about me? If you don't go to help Imam Husayn, I would go myself to help my Mawla. This is the household of Habib. He sends his servant to wait for him at such and such place. You know, take the horse out on the outskirts of Kufa and such and such place, wait for me, and then I'm gonna go. And we find Habib was there present in the house, in the shop of a person who's selling perfumes, and he asked, and Khidab, you know, the color to run your hair the head's hair and the beard. And this guy said, why don't you buy? Habib's beard is white. Why didn't you buy some color for your beard? Habib replies back, I want to color my beard with a color. That color never fades away. He's talking about the color of his blood. I'm going to color my beard with the color of my blood. This is how these people are ready and accommodating their shahadat. And we find when Habib arrives a little bit late at the place where his servant was waiting with the horse, he saw his servant was talking to the horse and addressing to the horse that don't worry, if my master doesn't come to ride you, I will ride you myself and I will go to sacrifice my life for the sake of Hussein. When Habib listens to that remark, he was so much moved. He said to his slave, I set you free for the sake of Allah. In other words, and he replies back, that's not fairness. As long as I was serving you, you kept me. But now that you're going to serve, to sacrifice your life for Mawla Hussein, now you are setting me free. This is not going to work. You need to take me as well along with you to sacrifice my life for Imam Hussein. Habib takes away his slave as well. And now in Karbala, we find that Imam Hussein has been distributing the ra'yat, the parcham, the flags among the companions. One flag is for Muslim, one flag is for Zuhair, one flag is for Sa'id. For everyone there is a flag. And now there was one flag that he did not give away to anybody. And when someone asks, you didn't give away this flag, Imam says the one who deserved that flag is about to arrive. And soon they discovered the dust appearing from the side of Kufa. And these people welcome Habib ibn Mazahir in coming and joining the camp of Imam al-Hussein. When Hazrat Zainab hears that news that someone has arrived, she sends Hazrat Fidla to find out who is the person, because obviously she has been hearing the news. Now the army of Umar ibn Sa'd has arrived. Now such and such further armies have arrived against Imam Hussein. She sends Fidla alayhi salam to find out, and she comes back and says that this is time, this is the Habib, the childhood friend of Hussein has arrived. When Hazrat Zainab hears that news, she says to Fidla, go and say my salam to Habib. When Hazrat Zainab is saying her salam to Habib, now Habib hears that, when he hears that remark, the narration says Habib sits down over the Maidan and the soil of Karbala. He sits down there and he picks up the soil from the ground and starts pouring over here his head and says, what a time has arrived that my lady Zainab, such a great lady Zainab, in other words, she's saying salam over a person like me.
لعنتullah على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Let's read the آية الكريمة 5 times for all the mu'mineen, especially who have sponsored these majalis.
and those who have been serving the food in the love of Imam al-Husayn al-Salam for their hajat, and all the mustadafeen and mahrumeen and madlumeen, especially those who are defending the haram of Sayyida Zainab sallallahu alayha. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Amman yujibul muhtarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu as-su'. Amman yujibul muhtarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu as-su'. Amman yujibul muhtarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu as-su'. Amman yujibul muhtarra إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. يا حسين.
يا حسين. يا حسين.